This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome to this special presentation brought to you by PlaceToBeNation.com and Place to Be Nation's main event. My name is Scott Criscolo. We have entered into the fire and have come out the other side. For on this special edition of the main event reaction show, for the first time in a while, if ever, we're actually not doing a major company show. We're kind of doing almost like an indie almost. It's kind of a little different. It's weird to call the NWA an indie show, but it sort of is. Used to not be. They were the flamethrower for a zillion years. Of course, tonight just concluded from down in Atlanta was kind of technically, even though it's technically their fourth pay-per-view since the rebirth. This is really their first one where they're standing on their own. They had the anniversary show. They had the other show later on in January. And then, they co-did the Crockett Cup, April, with Ring of Honor. But this is really their first show that they're standing on their own. And it was called Into the Fire. We had seven matches, three titles on the line, and a title change. And two huge announcements, and two huge debuts. One of them, in my opinion, probably legitimately shook the wrestling world tonight, I think. But let me bring in my guy. He is a voice you have heard very often on both these feeds, on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed and over on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. He is a frequent contributor to the main event. He hasn't been on a while, but technically he's on tonight. He a past co-host with me on Place to Be Nation's Extra Point and the Sports Evolution. He's currently an exceptional analyst over on the Pop Feed with myself, Andy Atherton, and J. Arsenio D'Amato in Place to Be Nation's Year in Pop. But the year tonight we're talking about is this year, and we're talking about the NWA. Ladies and gentlemen, making his reaction debut, yes, the Doctor. Dr. G, George Rubino. And the reason he's on tonight is because this is the one night of the week that he doesn't have to go to bed and get up at 3:30 in the fucking morning or whenever the hell you get up. But you do like pay-per-views ending at 8 o'clock, though, don't you?
Sorry about your damn luck.
Well, he had some damn bad luck tonight, James Storm. We'll get into that this evening. It's good to have you on, though, Doctor.
Oh, the pleasure is all yours.
What did I say?
I'm looking forward to this because you know what? This is some of the, I don't care what some of these guys out there, because you know everybody knows everything about wrestling. That has a smartphone. But this I have been enjoying this NWA since they've done the Power, and now this pay-per-view. It's some of the best wrestling that I've enjoyed in years. I have to be honest with you. I know some people are going to think I'm crazy, but I really, really enjoy it. It's just old school. It's got that old school mix with the way wrestling is today, but done the right way. We'll get into that when we discuss a lot of these matches, but I just love it. I'm enjoying it. I didn't even get bored at one moment during that pay-per-view tonight.
No, it was just a very different atmosphere. You know, the last couple of the last few reaction shows we've done here on Main Event, and of course the one I guested with the Godfather, Nate Milton, and Brett Chittenden over on the Chain Reaction podcast over on the Kings of Sport Patreon. And it's here on Club Placement Nation as well. You know, we did Full Gear. We did TakeOver War Games. We did Survivor Series, all big shows with relatively big crowds. Full Gear had a full house. TakeOver was, you know, TakeOver Chicago. So big crowd. Survivor Series, big crowd. But, I mean, how many would you think was in the studio tonight? Maybe
200?
250, probably they squeezed in there, maybe?
Yeah, maybe the most. It's definitely a different atmosphere. And, again, stuff we'll discuss. I mean, I do think that eventually they have to get into a little bit larger of an arena.
I agree.
To add something different if you're going to do, you know, I don't know, they're doing another show in January. So I don't know if they're going to make this a monthly thing. If they do, they're going to have to switch it up a little
bit. Surprises! Haven't been on a reaction show for long, have you? Spoiled one of the surprises, but that's okay. You're the doctor.
But that's right.
The pleasure's still all mine, right?
Exactly. But you know what I love about this, though? I mean, seriously, I think what's good about this, it's something different. They're not trying to be AEW. They're not trying to be WWE. They're not trying to compete with them. They just have their own little niche. Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana. I mean, the production value is phenomenal. And just the way they're putting it together, you know, yes, it's for guys that maybe are in their 30s and 40s that grew up watching the old studio show, you know, the World Championship Wrestling or, you know, Championship Wrestling from Georgia. But it's just got such a great feel to it. And the fans are really into it and they're enjoying it. And you know, they're not trying, like I said, they're not trying to compete, so they're just growing it little by little. And I'm enjoying watching the progress. And then, amazingly, they're selling this pay-per-view. They don't even have a TV show. They are solely doing this through YouTube, which basically anybody in the world could watch. I think it's phenomenal. I'm really enjoying it. I haven't been this pumped up, and you know how negative I've been about,
yes,
you know, mm-hmm, you know, WWE and, you know, AEW, I was jumping on that bandwagon, but I think they're kind of coming back to earth a little bit. So this right now, I'm enjoying it. You know, maybe in a couple of months from now, maybe, you know, maybe different if they go another way. But if NWA keeps doing this, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. I think they'll be a nice little small company that's just an alternative.
Mm. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think Billy Corgan's not a millionaire. He's not Vince McMahon. He's not Tony Khan. He can't you know, set the world on fire. I'm sure he's got investors to help out. But they're starting slow. It's an alternative. I think, you know, I said this to you in the car today when we were running around. I said that you always said that, you know, eventually we're going to get back to the way things used to be. Well, we are. We're back to the territory days now. There are now six, and that includes Ring of Honor, even though they're kind of sinking, six viable options to watch wrestling. You can watch WWE, you can watch AEW, you can watch NWA, you can watch Impact, you can watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, you can watch Ring of Honor, and that's only the six ones that I can know off the top of my head. You can watch anything. Well, CZW.
What's old is new again. You know, look at vinyl. Now, look at how expensive it is. People are going out and buying record players now.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes nostalgia is there. And believe it or not, I do think the younger generation sometimes likes a little nostalgia, even though everybody thinks they know that the younger generation, they just think that they're totally into the stuff of today. I think sometimes they like some of that nostalgia. And I do think that NWA has a place and has a niche. No, is it going to be a billion-dollar company? Probably never. I don't even know if it'll be, you know, I'm not going to say a $1 million company, but I don't think it's going to be in the tens of million-dollar company. I mean, hope it does, but I think the niche that they have and they're creating and Billy Corgan. And again, I was discussing with you tonight and I was like, well, who's really the booker? I mean, I guess, you know, Lagana, I know, does a lot, you know, pretty much everything. He's wearing all hats right now as the VP. Who's like really booking behind the scenes? Because I have to tell you the truth, they're doing a pretty good job, whoever's doing it.
I mean, I'm looking right now. at I'm on Wiki looking at the booking. I mean, I guess it's I don't know.
I don't know. I know Billy Corgan's the owner. Is he involved in it?
Obviously Dave's the other big guy, Dave Lagana.
Right.
Does
he have some of the guys? You know, some of the you do have like a Ricky Morton there, and you do have some of these. I mean, a lot of these guys are veterans that wrestled for, you know, either WWE or Impact. So maybe they're helping out a little bit. Whatever they're doing, I mean, I love the old school feel of the interviews, the storylines. There's nothing, you know, too crazy about it. Just a simple, like, hey, I want your championship belt, or, you know, little bit of jealousy storylines. You know, I don't know. There's something about the psychology that I love. And maybe, you know, I know maybe we do have some old school in us. You know, there's something to be said about it. I don't know. I'm just enjoying it. I know I keep saying it. I mean, maybe, like I said, maybe 3 months from now I could be soured on it. Who knows? I hope not. But I just love it. I love the look. I love the ring with the NWA block letters on the mat. I like the feel of the studio, you know, with the little desk and the background where they're, you know, just doing their interviews like the old school days. And I don't know. It's just that intimacy. The fans love the NWA, you know, that are there. They're really cheering it on.
Right. It's not like they're not there like, you know, like freebies like Nitro or something. You know, they obviously paid. They did a big package this weekend because they're doing tapings today. You're listening to this on Sunday because this is when it was posted. Today, Sunday, and tomorrow, Monday, for fresh episodes of Power, which is, of course, the show, of course, that and I think the first new one will be this coming Tuesday on YouTube. Usually pops up about 6 o'clock Eastern time, p.m.
And I'm getting used to Joe Galli as the announcer.
Yeah, I was not a big fan, but he's growing. He's a play-by-play guy. You know, he's not supposed to have much of a personality anyway, but
yeah, I think Stu Bennett did a pretty good job tonight.
Yes, I think Stu Bennett was great tonight. He was starting to feel
good. I keep wanting to call him Wade Barrett. But
Wade Barrett. He does do some jabs, though. He does do some, like, I'm always the bearer of good news. He kept saying that tonight. So it was good. It was good. All right. So, again, this show took place at the studios. They kind of prettied it up a little bit. They actually put NWA on the canvas. Usually they don't. The NWA is usually only on the apron. There were 7 matches. There was originally 6, but they decided to split up the women, the third woman in Melina's faction. There, actually, Thunder Rosa wrestled her own match tonight against somebody. We'll get to that in a minute. We did, of course, have 3 title matches tonight. Of course, the Rock and Roll Express were defending the World Tag Team Championships. Boom 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 Cabana was defending the national title. And, of course, the big one, Nick Aldis was defending the World's Heavyweight Championship against James Storm in a 2 out of 3 falls match with different referees and all sorts of interesting stuff. So, all right. As Dr. G has already said, this was one of the surprises they said today. We might as well say it now. They did announce the next pay-per-view, and we'll get more into the future at the end of the show, but they did announce the next NWA pay-per-view. It will be on Saturday night, January 24th. Yes, the night before the Royal Rumble. And the reason that's not a big deal is because, in case you're obviously a WWE fan, there is no NXT TakeOver Houston. They're doing a takeover in February in Portland, Oregon. And that night is the When Worlds Collide, or whatever they call that thing where they throw together all the NXT, NXT UK, the 205 Live guys into some tournament or whatever. So they're doing that night. So I don't think that's live, though. So, or they're taping it, and then they'll air it throughout, I think, between the Rumble and the February pay-per-view, whatever the fuck it is.
Just so you know, Scott, I'm going to tell everybody right now that's listening to this, because I know we're going to get some good downloads. If you could spare the $24.99, and if they do that special where you pre-order at $19.99 or $20, whatever, what's the difference, a penny?
Yeah.
make an effort.
Yeah. Really make an effort.
$20. You know what? That's like 4 coffees or something that you get at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
Just do it. I'm telling you, you will enjoy it. And I'd love to get some reaction. You know, I guess I could do it on your Twitter. I like to get some reaction, even reactions from this show. But if you order that pay-per-view next time, we'll do a reaction show on it. I want to get your feedback on it, because I'm telling you, I think for those who are, you know, been wrestling fans for a long time, you're going to enjoy NWA. And if you haven't watched it yet, start when they start up with the power shows again. They're going to start with the power shows next week.
No, I just said Tuesday. They're shooting shows tomorrow and Monday. Because this was, they were doing a 3-day pack, tonight, tomorrow, and Monday, and they'll be debuting a new. Remember, it's season 2. That's what they call it now. Season 2 of Power, starting this Tuesday. So they'll be refreshed.
I'm telling you, make an effort to watch it. But I don't know. I'll let you give out all your Twitter information, all that stuff. But I would love to hear, even after this show, I want to get some reactions of what you hear us saying and what you guys think about NWA. And I would love, and this is something maybe we could work on, I'd love to get Dave Lagana on the show. I'd love to interview him. I really would.
Look at you booking shit. We're going to talk about matches, and here you are planning out 2020. This is why we have the fucking doctor here. We don't just giggle we normally giggle and drink. But tonight we're fucking booking guests, damn it.
Exactly, because this – I'm telling you, this is going to be the home of the NWA right here. This podcast, I'm going to tell you right now.
Absolutely. And of course, Dr. T will be on the regular main event as well down the line. You could help us with some NWA correspondence. We're going to be changing things up with main event in 2020 that I think you'll all like. So, all right, let's dive into the show. We open with a good old fashioned straight up grudge match between a pair of former TNA world champions, Dr. G. One of them was when it was TNA, and another was when it was Impact. Mr. Anderson, Ken Anderson, taking on Eli Drake. And unlike on the Power shows, where only Thunder Rosa actually has entrance music, all the wrestlers had entrance music tonight, and they actually came down the steps from up in the balcony.
I thought that was kind of cool. I liked that little...
as well. I was hoping the Rock and Roll Express weren't going
to
fall over.
You know what? Again, they did throw a little couple things to make it a little different from the Power show.
Different camera angles. They did this cool camera angle from like the top of the rafters, down to the backside of the ring. So that was kind of cool. I enjoyed this match. I'm on Wiki. Wiki doesn't have times. Nobody posted times yet. Durations. I would say this match was probably 13, 14 minutes. And it was really good. Eli Drake's a good worker. Ken Anderson's a little out of shape, but
yes, he is.
He put some good, a little plump, a little chunky, but he put some good moves on. And Eli Drake won with a schoolboy off the corner. So Eli Drake gets the win. I think he is a future number one contender for the world title. NWA has a lot of guys that could be in that line. What are your thoughts on Eli Drake first? I know this is the first time you've really seen him a lot since we've been watching the Powers. I know you weren't watching Impact a ton at the end. I know you know Ken Anderson well. What are your thoughts on Eli Drake overall?
I like him. It looks like, you know, as we did talk about with, you know, with Ken Anderson and stuff, it looks like they, you know, again, that's the one thing NWA is kind of trying to define their faces and heels a little bit, which is kind of neat. You know, they're trying to build their characters. I think Eli Drake would make a great heel. It looks like they're kind of gearing, making him more towards the face territory at this point. Mm-hmm. But I think he would make a good heel. But I like his work. I do like his work in the ring. Again, what I do like about all this stuff is, and I know everybody enjoys all the flips off the ropes and all this stuff that they do in NXT and AEW and even WWE to a certain extent. But I like the old school, the psychology, and, you know, maybe they'll pull out a move like that every once in a while where it's something different and it's not everybody's trying to, I got to get all my spots in. And I think even this match, would I call this a 5-star match? Of course not. But it told the story, and it told the story as we'll get into, you know, what happened after Ken Anderson lost and Eli Drake came out for an interview, and we'll go from there. I don't know if you want to get into that part now, or you want to wait till we go through the matches.
What, when they attack later? Well, when we get there.
Okay.
let's put it this way, as Dr. G's alluding to, this feud is continuing. But Eli Drake gets the win in the opener.
Yeah, because so you could see when the match ended, you know, Eli Drake won, and you could see like Ken Anderson seemed to be
seething.
Like he seemed like pissed off at himself, but you know, he kind of was like giving that stare, and you just kind of got that feeling like this is not over. This is you know, Ken Anderson. You know, Ken Anderson had a name. You know, he's not going to lose that easily. There's mm-hmm. going to be more to the story, which I like. Again, you don't have to just go because it was a pay-per-view. Okay, they had their match and it's done. It's nice. Keep the feud going.
Nope. I agree with you 100%. So as we had mentioned, and as they've been promoting throughout the shows leading up to tonight, the tag match was supposed to be Allison Kay and actually this the what do you call it? Did it wrong. Wiki did that match wrong. I just realized. Oh, wow. Idiots. And they want money right now. Allison Kay was supposed to, her tag team partner was attacked, during this match. And Marty Bell, Melina, and Thunder Rosa were supposed to be some sort of team. Well, Marty Bell and Melina were the two that were going to be in the tag match. So Thunder Rosa wrestled, Tasha Steeles, who was some nobody from, I don't know where she was from, but Thunder Rosa won the match and then beat the snot out of her afterwards and then walked off. So I definitely see, G, that they are trying to start developing. You know, I know everybody gets cheered, but they seem to attempt to be developing legitimate faces and heels and drawing some lines in the sand. You know,
they are. Listen, but, the fans of today, I mean, it's different again from – so they're adding some of the old school in this, but you're going to still have the new school fan, and that's fine. You're still going to get that cheering for both, or they're cheering for the organization they love. You know, the NWA, and you know, and certain guys they just like because the whole gimmick and whatever. We're never going to get to the way it was years ago, where it's the true heel and face. And I guess also the attitude era might have even changed some of that as well. But that's fine. But you are right. They are trying to develop. And Thunder Rosa, I mean, definitely you could tell they're building her towards, you know, eventually being probably the woman's champion. So
I agree. Yes.
I mean, you know, she basically took care of Tasha Steeles and then, you know, did her job. Geez, I'm just blanking out here.
It's been a while, I know.
But no, I like the way they're building her character. They're kind of making her like unbeatable right now, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, no, it is. And they did that whole thing with her with the MMA fight in San Antonio. They were doing like, you know, vignettes to her MMA debut in San Antonio in the Octagon and stuff like that. So they're definitely high on Thunder Rosa. Then next up came one of the more unheralded popular guys in the company right now, the Question Mark, who is from, I have to look it up. I wrote it down. I have to look it up because it was on one of our, I was looking it up on one of our chats tonight. I got to see what the heck it was.
Oh my God! The countries from. All night I kept saying I'm going to remember this.
I got to look it up, and I can't. Let's see. He was from. I'm looking. Mongrovia. Question mark is from the country of Mongrovia. And out came Aaron Stevens in a gi, and there's question mark, and he's, you know, yelling out karate, and his flag, the official flag of Mongrovia, is a question mark and two anteaters. So that's maybe awesome. That's the national animal. I don't know. So that leads to our third match.
And they had a guy almost like Johnny Ace to stand out.
Yeah, they had a guy, Johnny Ace. Look like Justin's guy, John Walters, except in a mask. And he was standing there holding the flag. Yes, a.k.a. Johnny Ace, except that we didn't have any barbed wire around the flag. And the question mark took on WWE alumnus Trevor Murdoch. It was a fun match. It was kind of a big man slop fest, but it was fun. Served its purpose. Question mark got the win.
It's not a bad hand.
Nah, not at all.
Obviously, he's a little out of shape. So both guys were, but which is fine. Listen, who the hell am I to say?
And really, you're not supposed to have jacked up guys in the NWA because they really weren't like that in the 70s. So it kind of fits the mold, no pun intended.
It's true.
But using some shenanigans from Aaron Stevens, the question mark got the win as he did the Asiatic spike, or is it the Mongrovian spike now? Into the throat of
Trevor Murdoch tossed the flag. He grabbed the
flag. Yes, he threw the flag out of the guy's hand.
And question mark was not happy.
No, he wasn't. You do not disrespect the Mongrovians.
Come on. Was that the funniest when he sang the Mongrovian
anthem? The Mongrovian national. He did sing the Mongrovian national anthem. It was. Oh, it was awesome. That was great. It's good. Good Tampa karaoke for WrestleMania weekend.
I enjoyed that.
It was good. So anyway, the question mark gets the win. Then I think here they announced it. I don't know if they announced. Did they announce it after the tag? I'm trying to think. Yes, they announced it after the tag. We'll get to the announcement in a minute. So next up,
I guess we had our first title match on this shit.
What's that?
I guess I gotta start taking notes on this shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you gotta have a nice. Well, if you have a nice notebook like Tim Capel and you have nice handwriting like Jennifer Smith, you have terrible handwriting because so do I. But exactly. but you'd make perfect notes. Our first title match of the evening: your World Tag Team Champions, the Rock and Roll Express. Yes, Robert Gibbs and Ricky Morton taking on the former champions, the Wild Cards, Tom Latimer and Royce Isaacs. They just lost the belts a couple of powers ago. I was sure that they were going to drop the belts back to the Wild Cards. I thought that was just a nostalgia spike. And, of course, using backup, the Rock and Roll Express were backed up by your boy Eddie Kingston. Of course, wearing a Yankee hoodie. Well, way to be a heel down there.
Love it.
And Homicide. And then, of course, the Wild Cards were seconded by, of course, the other team in the company, the Dawson Brothers. So there's really like four tag teams in the WWE. I keep doing that. In the NWA right now. And they were all in the same match.
All right. Get your head out of Triple H's ass.
I know. I'm trying to. Most people can't get their heads out of Cody Rhodes' ass. I can't get my head out of Triple H's ass. Get your head out of Dave Lagana's ass. No, I'm only kidding. Great match. I got to say, as much as their hairstyles really horrendous, I am going to give Ricky and Robert their due. They actually still do move pretty well.
Yeah, for the guy, were they in their late 50s or whatever?
They got to be in their late 50s, maybe even 60. They're probably in their late 50s. As a matter of fact, I'll look how old they are right now.
Ricky Morton's 63. Wow.
Ricky Morton's 63, and Robert Gibson is 61. So, they're not fucking around. And apparently, according to, they were wearing pink and black tights tonight. No, not Brett's tights. And I guess Bennett said tonight that those are the exact. Now, somebody's got to look this up. We'll have to ask Chad Campbell because he remembers this shit off the top of his head. Apparently, the Rock and Roll Express were wearing the same tights tonight that they wore at Starrcade 86.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I have to look that up. It was a fun match. There was a couple of spots. At one point, Ricky Morton tried to do a plancha like through the ropes, but instead it looked like the Wild Cards caught him.
Caught him, yeah.
Put him down, and then they fell. Yeah, it was a little flim-flammy there. However, I will give Ricky Morton his due. Ricky Morton did do a Canadian Destroyer tonight, which I fucking 63-year-old guy doing a Canadian Destroyer. He deserves props for that. There was some shenanigans outside with Homicide and Eddie Kingston fighting with the Dawson Brothers, but in the end, yes, the Rock and Roll Express retained the NWA World Tag Team Championships. I was stunned by that. That was, for me, like my upset of the night. I almost would have guaranteed the Wild Cards were going to win the belts.
I think that's where Kingston's going to turn. I think that's where you're going to see.
I know. How do you have Braves fans cheering for a guy with a Yankee hoodie on? I mean, what the fuck? What kind of weird, bizarre world is that?
No, but I think that they're gonna have this thing of the Rock and Roll Access befriending and then getting turned on. You know, kind of old school NWA.
Yeah, because Homicide's a great heel.
Homicide. Yeah, so. I just think that's the route they got to go. The Rock and Roll Express are not long-term champions.
Yeah. No. I think they were just there to get some. I think they were just there to get some.
Little credibility, I guess, if you want to call it that. Even though they're 63 and 61 years old, but the name, a little name recognition. again, gets the clicks, gets people maybe, oh, wow, the Rock and Roll Express are still wrestling. They won the belts. Oh, let me go take a look at that on YouTube, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So
for what it was okay.
Yeah, no, it was a good match. It was pretty solid. And but Ricky Morton doing the Canadian Destroyer is pretty impressive. Got to give him props for that. All right, so yes. I'm looking at my notes based on the chat, and this is where the two announcement, a big announcement, well, actually two announcements in one. And that is, as Dr. G alluded to, the next NWA pay-per-view. I thought they would be doing this like seasonally. I didn't think we'd get another pay-per-view till maybe, I don't know, late April, early May. No. No, the next NWA pay-per-view will be Saturday night, January 24th, 7 o'clock, not 6:05, from the studios, which, as I mentioned earlier, the Saturday night preceding the Royal Rumble in Houston. Of course, before anybody bitches and moans, lest we remember, there is no NXT TakeOver that night. They are not doing a TakeOver that night. The next TakeOver is in early February out in Portland, Oregon. And then the next pay-per-view takeover is, or, you know, the one on a pay-per-view weekend is, of course, I will be at, which is, of course, TakeOver Tampa. So they have an open Saturday. They're like, fuck it. Why not? You know what I mean? So there will be a pay-per-view. It'll be at the studios. And Stu Bennett said, quote, I've got some good news. And he said they'll be debuting a new championship. Although, of course, it's not a new championship. And he lifted up. That's right, folks. The old school NWA World Television fucking championship. Yes, Jennifer Smith, Papa Arn's belt.
That's right.
I was fucking, I was watching it at the doctor's house. You were just walking in the living room and I go, holy fucking shit. You had no idea what I was talking about. So I thought that was kind of cool. But
I'm so excited about that. I love that belt.
Yeah, it's an awesome belt.
I'd love to see them bring Arn in for that. You know, Arn's not working for anybody. I know that he's friendly with Cody Rhodes and all that. Maybe eventually he will go to AEW, but I'd love to see him show up.
I think
the guy who presents that belt to the winner.
Papa Arn needs to be at that pay-per-view on January 24th. I don't think there's any doubt. Maybe I'll get Jennifer Smith to buy it. But yeah, I think this is huge for the company. I think it's huge for fans. Dig old school shit. And the original red-leathered World Television Championship is arguably one of the greatest belts that was ever made. So that's the big that was the two big announcements tonight, that the NWA's next pay-per-view is January 24th, and that they are bringing back, it's not really a debut, I guess, it's a return, if you will, the NWA World Television Championship. Yeah, fuck that shit. That's awesome. So
I'm looking forward. I love that belt.
Yeah, belt is great. Next up, we have our tag team match. So Melina and Marty Bell take on Allison Kay, the NWA Women's Champion. And she was supposed to have her partner, whose name, believe it or not, fucking escapes me. But she got jumped.
I did the same thing before.
But she got jumped by Thunder Rosa. So she had to be replaced. So who comes down? And here is big debut number one tonight. Former Impact Wrestling Knockouts Champion, Flask, tits and all, ODB, which I think is fucking great. She used to shake her tits, and she comes in swigging a flask. A girl of my caliber, I think.
Exactly.
You should my wheelhouse.
Take her on a date. Why not?
Take her to Tampa. She'll find me some good swill joints. great tag match. And I think the women's division in NWA is burgeoning. I will contend, and I'm going to get shit for this, and I don't really fucking care. I think the women's division in the NWA is more stable than the women's division in AEW right now. Not WWE. WWE's women's division's killer right now.
Oh yeah, they got some.
But even Impact is pretty solid. I mean, you got Tessa, but right now you've got some solid workers.
NWA. I agree with you. I mean, NWA doesn't have a lot of women right now, but the ones they do have are pretty solid.
Yeah, they do.
Thunder Rosa is the key to that whole.
She's a lot like Ronda. You know, yeah, she knows her shit and she makes you. When she was bending, what's her name's elbow? Oof.
Yeah.
It looked like it hurt. It was pretty awesome.
I definitely could see ODB if ODB is going to stay on with NWA. I could see ODB and Thunder Rosa having, you know, a championship match down the road.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I love I loved ODB in Impact too. So, and they won the match. Wiki says that Melina and Marty Bell won. They didn't. ODB pinned Marty. Yeah. So so the babyfaces won that one. Fun match. Fun match. All right. Next up, our second of three title matches on this evening. The national championship is on the line in a triple threat. Your champion, Colt Boom Boom Cabana. And one thing I like about Colt, he's so great. He comes down and he's got this. He wears this satin jacket that has his name on the front, Colt, and on the back it says Pro Wrestling Tees. I think that's fucking hilarious. It's almost like he got his shirt from, like, the back rack of the room. Because don't forget, there's a brick and mortar Pro Wrestling Tees store. I don't know if you knew this, Dr. G. There's a brick and mortar Pro Wrestling Tees building in Chicago. They kind of put it together of the weekend that All In happened last year in 2018.
Oh, right. I did hear about that.
So there is, and you know, of course, Colt's from Chicago. His best friend is, you know, that guy, or former best friend, I guess now. And he was taking on Ricky Starks, a young up and comer, and the artist formerly known as Damian Sandow, of course, Aaron Stevens. Aaron Stevens, good chicken shit heel that he is, spent most of the match hiding behind the Christmas tree. And next to Joe, which is a Christmas tree next to the broadcast table of Joe Galli and Stu Bennett. And I meant to say this point before we get into the match, though, Jay. And I said this to you when we were watching it. I have always considered. Now, I haven't watched a ton of his matches. I have some stuff on some Ring of Honor DVDs I have here in Studio B, but. I think I've underrated Colt Cabana as a wrestler. I think he's pretty good. I mean, he's not bad. He's not better than his former best friend, you know, that guy. But he's good. I think he gets. I don't say he gets disrespected. I think he gets forgotten. In the pantheon of.
I think the NWA is a nice change for him.
I agree. Yeah, I think he'll fit very well there, and he wrestled really well. Ricky Starks, good young up and coming kid in his 20s, you know, good high flyer, and Aaron Stevens just hiding behind the Christmas tree, and then finally got into the match. They had some good back and forth moves. All three of them worked really hard, and in the climax, the question mark, getting back for what happened, and helping his guy, and Aaron Stevens. Got the pin on Colt Cabana while Ricky Starks is being held outside by question mark. And yes, the artist formerly known as Damian Sandow, Aaron Stevens, is your new NWA national champion. I think this is good. We need a bona fide heel with a belt since everybody else is a babyface. I guess. I don't know. We still haven't figured out Nick Aldis, but we'll get to that in a minute. First of all, your thoughts on the match, and secondly, your thoughts on Colt Cabana as a wrestler. Because I know this is kind of your first real exposure to him, too.
Well, I thought the match was good. I Colt Cabana, I tell you the truth, he didn't really do anything for me too much, like in the interviews, you know, on Power. But I don't know. I think he does a pretty good job. I think this is a good place for him. I would say he's definitely a face. Although I could see him as a heel, no, you know, but you could see anybody. It's a lot of these guys as heel,
right?
But you do need some faces. And Aaron Stevens, he's hysterical. I thought he was hysterical when he was Miz Dow, and now even Damian Sandow in WWE.
So good.
But I think, you know, here he has a platform where he kind of, hey, here's your bullet points. Go out and just do your thing. And he does a really good job. And I just love the fact when him and question mark it together, and, you know, he'll go and do his thing and the fans will boo. And then he doesn't see question mark, you know, kind of like doing his signal. What does he do? What's the signal that question mark does, like with the. Like he's like, we're getting ready to do like a karate move or whatever. And then everybody cheers. But Aaron Stevens thinks they're cheering for him because he doesn't see question mark doing it. You know, I just love the little back and forth. I like it. I think NWA made a smart move there. Make Stevens the champion. Have a good heel as a champion. Little chicken shit heel.
And, pretty solid.
you know, gives
and
you,
now
gives
we get to our main event. And this had a lot of, and Stu Bennett said it multiple times tonight, this match had plenty of moving parts. It is your NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis, the National Treasure, without Camille, although we will get to Camille in a moment, taking on the number one contender and former national champion, the Cowboy, James Storm.
Are you now, PTBN's
kicking it old school, Dr. G. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match, and each guy got to pick a referee. So one ref would ref the first fall, one ref would ref the second fall, and then they'd flip a coin as to who would ref the third fall. James Storm picked, I guess he's head official of the NWA, Brian Hebner, of course, Earl's kid. Nick Aldis, for his referee, picked former rival and former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Tim Storm. I like Tim Storm, Mama Storm's kid, as they say. And then the third fall, if there was, the other NWA official would flip a coin between Hebner and Storm as to who would do the third fall. So things got right out. We got drama right out of the gate, Dr. G.
Yeah.
Like 2 minutes into the match, out comes Camille, who, by the way, is a fucking smoke show. Camille comes out, distracts Nick Aldis, and James Storm hits the last call, which is his super kick. And 2 minutes into the match, Brian Hebner counts 3, and James Storm has a 1-fall-to-none lead. That kind of came out of nowhere, huh?
It did, but you know what? You know what I like about it? I think, you know, some people are like, oh, why aren't we getting the answer with Camille? What's going on? It seems like a strange relationship between all this and... No, that's what wrestling's gotten away from. Let this thing play out for a few months. Who cares?
Instead of marinate.
Yeah, marinate, exactly. Instead of, okay, now we... You know, again, they don't have a gigantic roster, so they do have to keep certain storylines going for a little while. Yep. I love it. I think it's good because we don't know. And we can't figure, is Aldis a heel? Is he a face? You know, it's I like the psychology there. Again, a little of the new school mixed with the new school. You know, I'm enjoying it. I like Aldis. I think he's a good wrestler. I think he's a good speaker. I think he's a great representation for the NWA. Kind of has, like, he's kind of like a new school Flair, you know, not as flamboyant as Flair, but has that kind of a mixture of Flair and, like, say, Nick Bockwinkel. You know how Nick Bockwinkel had that classiness about him?
Oh yeah,
when he
absolutely
came out with the
Nick
belt.
Yep.
You know, you just, he looked like a champion. He looked like a leader, you know, and but he has a little bit of that cockiness that Flair has. Again, not as you know, Flair was really, I'm not, outgoing's not the word I'm looking for, but, you know, he was in your face a little bit more. Aldis is not like that, but I don't know. He just carries that belt with a respect, and he looks like a world champion, and it makes you believe that that belt means something and that the organization means something. But more importantly, like I said, he makes that the moniker NWA World Heavyweight Champion, like, prestigious, and that's what I like about Aldis's character.
And I think right out of the gate, so Brian Hebner takes a seat. In comes Tim Storm for the second fall, and then James Storm is dominating the match. Hitting him with chairs and through. Oh, speaking of chairs, I'm sorry, I forgot something. Hold that thought for a minute. Let's rewind. After the announcement of the TV title, Eli Drake came out for an interview, and sure enough, as you said, based on the opener, Ken Anderson comes out, attacks Eli Drake, throats him on the chair. He puts his neck through a chair and throws him into a ring post, and then he mic checks him on the chair in the ring. So
like it.
Ken Anderson beat the shit out of Eli Drake in the middle of the show and carried him off. So
I just, that's that old school NWA booking. I love it.
Yeah.
Love
just
it.
Beat the shit out of the guy and send him off. So that feud. So G's right. That feud's definitely continuing. All right. Sorry about that. I wanted to make that point. All right. Back to the main event. So they're beating the shit out. Storm's dominating. He's beating the shit out of Aldis. Aldis then kind of turns the tide and throws James Storm into the Christmas tree. That was pretty funny. they beat the shit out of each other in the ring, and eventually, Aldis gets the second fall on a roll-up. on a small package, which is how he beat Tim Storm on the very first episode of Power. So we are at a fall apiece, and now they take a breather and they flip the coin. Out comes the other NWA official. They flip the coin and it's heads. So Brian Hebner comes back, Tim Storm leaves, and Brian Hebner will referee the third and final fall. The match continues. The brawl continues. Ton of fun. Eventually, Aldis goes for, and you knew, I said this to you. I said, you know what's happening, right? You know what's going to happen. Sure enough, Aldis goes for a clothesline. James Storm ducks, and he plows, and he cleans Brian Hebner's clock with this clothesline. So he's out. As I predicted, out comes Tim Storm trying to, you know, shake Brian Hebner clean. He's fucking gone. He's out cold. So Tim Storm comes in and just replaces him and continues the match. They continue to brawl. We had a couple of nice moves. They're going back and forth. At one point, Aldis is holding on, is in the corner. He's getting beat up. He holds on to the turnbuckle pad. The turnbuckle pads are kind of like how AEW, I think, has them. They're not like WWF where they're big and puffy.
Right.
They're like those thin ones that kind of like fold over. And they were nice and bright blue with NWA on them. They're really nice looking. Aldis is holding on to it. It looks like he's trying to do it, but he doesn't get it done. Storm grabs Aldis. Aldis grabs the turnbuckle and rips the pad off. He goes for a roll-up, James Storm. We got two Storms in the ring. James Storm. Aldis kicks out. Storm, James, goes headfirst into now the exposed turnbuckle ring. He's out. Aldis is on the ground. Tim Storm doesn't see. All he does is kicks the pad out of the ring. So he doesn't really totally notice that the turnbuckle pad is now gone and the ring is exposed. Having said that, that's not really illegal per se, based on how the motion of the move was. Well, Aldis then puts James Storm, who is still out cold in the sharpshooter, and kind of reminiscent of your boy, blood from a stone on his face. Well, although James Storm didn't have blood, but I'm speaking, of course, of Steve Austin and Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. He's out cold, so he's not answering.
I have to say, Storm looks at him. He did make some contact with the ring because you could see like a red.
Yeah, he had a mark on his head. He definitely hard weighed. I don't know if he was looking to get busted open. I don't know if he was going to go hard way, but he did whack it pretty good. And Aldis has him in the sharpshooter. Storm's looking at Tim, is looking at James. They're both, I might as well call them by their first names. Tim's looking at James, and James isn't moving. He's out. So Tim, what does he do? Obviously calls for the bell. Aldis gets the third fall, and Nick Aldis retains the World's Heavyweight Championship. Controversy, of course, a lot of flammery. What happened? Hooja-boocha, voodoo.
James Storm went out of the ring. They took him out of the ring. He kind of pointed to the crowd. He didn't seem like he was like, he got crazy, and then...
Oh, I'm sure the first hour will be very interesting on Tuesday.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see if that's going to keep going.
I think so. Before we get to the end, because we're not done yet.
Right.
Nope. What'd you think of the match?
A very solid match. Listen, I'm not going to say any of these matches were one for the ages and all that, but if you want to see a good, solid show, this was it. And this match, I thought it told a great story. I think James Storm wrestled very well. I think they had good chemistry in the ring together. Mm-hmm. Storm and Aldis. What do you think?
I definitely think they did. I've always been a Storm.
Again, it's the two out of three falls. You know, it's always going to be 1-1. I mean, that's just the way it is. But whatever, who cares? You know, so some things are predictable. Who cares? We've been doing that for every year I've been watching wrestling. That's fine. And then just that last fall and then having that drama. And again, keeping a storyline alive. There's nothing wrong. It didn't have to be totally solved right here. You know, all this, again, they don't have a roster of 30, 40 guys. So you kind of need to keep some of these storylines, going for a while. So we could either see a rematch there, or I'm sure you want to get into the surprise.
Yes. Holy shit. What a surprise. So Nick Aldis walks over to, what's his name? Marquez. What's his first name? Dave?
Dave Marquez. Yeah.
Dave Marquez. Cuts a promo holding the belt, saying, and he says, I can say now unequivocally that there's nobody in the world that can beat me. Well, we're thinking up comes the copyright or whatever, and we're done. Nope. The lights go out. We know how awesome that is. ECW stole that. But, you know, the lights go out. A spotlight. All of a sudden, then we see like these, this flashing, red and blue flashing, flashing, flashing. I thought I was having a seizure, flashing, flashing. Suddenly a spotlight hits the top of the balcony there where the guys have been, guys and gals have been coming down. And who walks out? Who walks the fuck out? The motherfucking villain, Marty fucking Scurll. Yeah, AEW, Marty fucking Scurll.
You just love AEW.
He's not going to be on Dynamite. AEW. Nope.
You love
He's not going to be on Raw or SmackDown. He's not going to be on Dynamite either.
Hey,
Marty fucking Scurll.
Triple H bump buddy there. I wouldn't want him on SmackDown. If
no, probably not. He'll probably go on 5-5 and we forget about him. Well, Vince was in charge of him. I don't like this villain. I'm the villain. No, never mind. Anyway. Marty comes down. Now, he's in the middle of cutting a promo, and this is where we had our only real technical problem of the night. The feed just kind of dumped. So I don't really know what the rest of the promo was, but he was kind of saying, this is NWA.
You know what's weird? The copyright went on, and they went to black for, like, you know, 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then, like, I thought it was over, and then they brought it back up, and that's when he
I think we'll see the promo. I think we'll see the promo. I think they'll show it Tuesday on the first Power, as I think they'll do. So, but yeah, he cut a promo probably in-house to the NWA fans. So yes, Marty Scurll is in the NWA. Your boy called it multiple times. Not AEW, not New Japan, NWA.
I love it.
This is huge. We've been saying this. AEW doesn't need anybody else. They've got plenty of guys. They barely have enough time for the guys to sit out.
You're going to get some of these guys. You know, WWE is starting to release some guys. AEW is not going to be able to take them on. Impact's not going to be able to take them on. Ring of Honor has their own issues. So NWA is going to get some of these guys. And again, you never know where these guys could go. I mean, look at, I think Aaron Stevens has a lot of potential. You know, obviously Scurll does. You know, James Storm, you know, always a good hand. Colt Cabana. They got some pretty good talent. Some pretty good talent that has a chance to make a name for themselves. And these guys know what they're doing. You know, even Ken Anderson. Ken Anderson's great on the mic, you know. It wasn't one of his best matches tonight. But if you had to tell me, and I know, you know, as we're wrapping this up, am I going to say this is like, you got to compare it to some of the great pay-per-views of all time?
No, if you
want to see a good, solid show, mm-hmm. and just enjoy wrestling for what it is and not have to be bitching and complaining about, you know, what's going on the television or, you know, what's going on with the cons and AEW and the McMahons, and you don't want to get into that and you just want to watch some good wrestling that, you know, with some decent storylines, watch this pay-per-view. You will not. I'd be surprised if somebody said that they didn't enjoy it. So with that being said, where can people contact you?
I want to hear people. So you're like, all right, I'm done. See you. Bye.
No. But where can people contact you? I want to hear what people have to say. I don't know. You got 9,000 Twitters.
This is one of the greatest reaction shows ever, and I'm not even drunk. We can't have you drunk. It would not end well. I think it's huge for AEW. Listen, I want to make things very clear. I'm saying it now, and I've said it on Main Event a million times, and Steve Willey agrees with me. I do not hate AEW. I hate their fans, because their fans are making me hate them, because they're a bunch of fucking territorial snowflakes. I like AEW. What AEW is doing right now is they're doing what WWE does. They're taking Dynamite, and they're cutting it into pieces on their YouTube channel. So if you don't get a chance to watch Dynamite on TNT, the next day on YouTube, they break it up into clips so you can kind of check out pieces of whatever you'd like. And I think that was smart of TNT and AEW.
AEW has a long way to go. They got some things, some kinks.
But they've been great, but now they're in a weird patch now. And I don't want to get into that. We'll talk more about this on Main Event in 2020. But AEW now is in a weird patch because their next pay-per-view is, I don't even know when the hell it is. They announced it February something, I don't know. So they've got a long road now to kind of do things. In fact, when is their next pay-per-view?
But you know, I think with when it comes to the whole thing with AEW, WWE, it was just like back in the wars with WCW and WWF. You're going to have the irrational fans. It's like anything with any sport you watch. We were here in New York with the Yankees and the Mets, and you have Yankee fans that you despise. We have Mets. I have Mets fans that we despise, and you wind up hating the team more because of their fans more than you do the actual team itself.
Okay, so their next pay-per-view is on Leap Year Day, February 29th. It's called Revolution, and it will be from the Wintrust Arena in Chicago. They're going back to Chicago. Why is everybody going to Chicago? Didn't somebody talk about too many things in Chicago?
We go to Facebook.
Back to Chicago. Where is Wintrust Arena? Is that where All In was? Or All Out?
Whatever. No, because that was the Sears.
Oh, no. Wintrust Arena is where that's where DePaul plays. It's on DePaul's campus.
Yeah, Sears Center is the other place that
Sears Center is where All Out was. So anyway, so we got a lot of – there's still a lot of great wrestling. My point is this – I think this is a good spot for Marty Scurll. And maybe Marty Scurll – because AEW is going to have to start acting like WWE in the sense that they can't let these guys – we're the alternative promotion that lets you go wherever you want. No, you can't do that because then people get hurt and then you can't use them.
This is where I would love to have Lagana on the pit if we could get him. I mean, we could just hit him up on Twitter. I don't know. But I would love to ask him, like, how NWA's, if they could even talk about, their contracts, how he's getting these guys, how they're signing them. Are they allowed to wrestle on indies? Are they, those kind of things? Because it would just be interesting to see, when they're having these guys come over, how they're getting them to stay. Because really right now, the revenue streams for NWA is now they're doing these pay-per-views, they're doing these studio shows, which, if you're only getting 200, 250 people, I mean, I know you may be charging a little bit for the ticket, but...
So guess what?
You have to be making revenue from somewhere.
Right. Now, listen, this doesn't necessarily mean, I want to preface something here, based on what the conscience of Place Me Nation and, of course, my co-host, a tri-host on Main Event, Steve Willey, just pinged me. Now, ROH Final Battle, which Marty was at last night in Baltimore, they had off today. And then the TV taping for Ring of Honor's tomorrow. So technically, he's probably still with ROH. And he had time to fly to Atlanta and show up tonight at Into the Fire and can go back to ROH tomorrow. So if that's the case, fine. But Marty Scurll in NWA is a huge boon for Billy Corgan, Dave Lagana, and the NWA clan because they need another name for the moment. So big deal here, big deal. But fun show. You can get it on Fight TV for $25. You could get the replay if you want to get it. As Dr. G said, it's like five cups of coffee. The next pay-per-view will be on Saturday, January 24th. No name yet, but we do know that they will be bringing back goddamn motherfuckers.
Well, if you're in Connecticut, it's four cups, but
that's true. To get it on the highway. They will be bringing back the NWA World Television Championship. Papa.
I'm so excited.
As we call it, Papa Arn's belt, because that is Double A's belt. Okay. And if Double A's goes to the NWA, that would, if he's there that night to hand it to whoever. So they'll probably start a tournament on Power probably after the new year to get us ready for that. So, and again, good job by the NWA to book a show on that Saturday night before the Royal Rumble, since there's no NXT takeover. There's an open Saturday. Good job by the NWA, because people are going to be in a wrestling mood. They're not going to have NXT. So good job by the NWA to slip a show in there.
I agree. And I think you're going to see some more surprises maybe in these tapings in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think so too.
On the Power Show. They gotta expand this roster. If you're going to have a television championship, they're going to do a tournament, or if they're going to add some more guys in the more belts, they're going to have some more guys.
That's guys. I agree with you 100%. So... we have to find out the deal with Camille. What is up with Camille? and a bunch of other, you know, what is up with James Storm? Who is the question mark? Et cetera, et cetera. And look like they added some merch. Like the Wild Cards had their own T-shirts. Some different T-shirts have been coming out. So I think NWA is also expanding their merch as well. And on a side note, Dr. G, I don't know if you knew this or not. The last pay-per-view before Into the Fire was the Crockett Cup, which was back in April. Nick Aldis retained the NWA world title by winning a match by submission. Who was his opponent on that evening in North Carolina? Marty Scurll. That is, of course, the Crockett Cup. And that, and of course, remember at that time the NWA was working with.
Oh, Marty. You know they're gonna throw that into.
So the so this is obviously ready made. So.
Yeah, this is. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I can't wait for the next Power tapings and to watch it every Tuesday, 6:05 YouTube. Make sure you watch it. Make sure you
watch it.
Go to then, subscribe to NWA on YouTube.
On YouTube,
I'm telling you, I'm going to be their I'm going to be their PR guy. Don't worry.
You can officially get. Well, you're pretty good at promoting things, so maybe you could do that. Maybe we could do like the official NWA podcast.
Again, you keep no selling me. So where could people reach us so we can get?
Well, because we weren't done yet. I wanted to talk about the fucking thing. I of course, you can catch me on Twitter at PTB Godfather. I'm Placed to Be Nation's Godfather. Nate Milton is Godfather of the world. I just want to make that clear. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at PTB and Godfather. Of course, I am on the Place to Be podcast with my PIC, Mr. Azzaro. If you are listening to this on the day it dropped, we'll be doing a new show tomorrow with a brand new guest making his debut. We'll be doing the March 19th, 1990 MSG House Show as we get close to WrestleMania 6. Of course, I'm on Place to Be Nation's main event. We took the rest of the month off because we deserved it, but we will be back in 2020. Our first episode will be dropping on. We'll be dropping. You know, Justin broke my balls about that too. He gets what? He gets to go to Florida and not have to do podcasts. So you have to leave the state to take a podcast vacation. Is that what it is? If I'm stuck here, I actually have to record. Good grief! God, no wonder I don't like working for you anymore. We also have. we also. God, I'm not even drunk. So I'm on. What was I talking about? Oh, I'm on main event. And that'll, of course, get back in 2020. Hopefully we can get Brandon Howard on to talk about the year in wrestling. It was a great year for pro wrestling. We had new promotions launch. One's in the toilet. It's pretty good. So check that out in 2020. Okay. Also, I am on Jenny and the Gems, myself, Jennifer Smith, Matt Souza, and Drew Wardlaw. We go through the hidden gems on the WWE Network, although now WWE Network announced they're not doing gems anymore, so God only knows when we'll be doing another episode of that. You can catch me over on the Pop Feed with this fucking guy right here. And J. Arsenio D'Amato and Mr. Andy Atherton, where we do The Year in Pop. We just dropped the final one of the 70s, 1979. So our next one will be sometime in early February. We will be going into the 1980s.
And then you can catch him on watching the Paint Dry podcast.
Hey, if anybody can make
paint watch DIY network of
fucking DIY podcast. Could you imagine?
Podcast, oh my lord.
There's wind blowing across this wonderful blade of grass. Let's talk about this blade of grass. It has good charisma. It may cut good promos against the fly when the fly sits on the blade of grass. Dr. G, you can find at KFC 14360, and he's always there. You know, he's going to have his little Garrett Cole fucking jersey and bullshit. He'll be on a main event in the near future. And, of course, you can catch him on the Year in Pop. And you should go on with D'Amato and Roger on This Week in the NFL when they change it to This Week in Sports, which they do when the NFL season ends, and you could talk about, because wouldn't you like to talk to a Met fan and a Red Sox fan about Garrett Cole? I mean, you of all people, Mr. Eddie, the Eddie Kingston sports podcast.
So we could hear them whining, you know, because they're in their little small markets.
Billionaire small markets.
I'm so tired of listening to
We should have had more Schaffer Hopper tonight.
We should have.
Anyway.
Should have, but really, I want to hear some reaction.
Yeah. Check us out on Twitter. This will be on the the show will be posted as I do with the main event shows on the Place to Be Nation main event Facebook page and on the Place to Be Nation Facebook page. Check out both. Don't forget to vote in the sitcom tournament.
That's right.
A bunch posted today. There's a ton. It's not just All in the Family. There's so many good fucking shows. Happy Days may throw a shutout in their first round matchup. No offense to My Favorite Martian, because we love Bill Bixby, but he's been on better shows. But keep voting and go to the page and check it all out and give your comments and your
make
analysis.
Make sure you click on this right and tell your friends and make this the most listened to reaction show of all time on PTB Nation, all right?
Because I guarantee you Tim Capel wanted to be on this more than wherever he was tonight, and I know where he was tonight. So anyway, for Dr. G, George Robolino, I'm Scott Criscolo. I hope you enjoyed Into the Fire, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Merry Hanukkah. Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, Cole Cabana. Happy Kwanzaa, and whatever. Happy Festivus, and whatever else goes on in the next couple weeks. And we will talk to you in 2020. Take care.
I got to know Tom on this case station. It's very expensive, but I want to spend some of it. 1 year ago, J.J. Dillon came to me, came to Flair, came to Tully. He said there's a guy down in the Everglades of Florida with a fantastic body and willing to learn. A diamond in the rough. So what we did was we sacrificed our time, our body, to train Luger in the aspects of being a horseman. He came along real well. Well, Luger, for you to stand in the forefront, correct James J. Dillon verbally, then put your hands on him physically, you put yourself in no man's land, fella. What's happened? The Four Horsemen were here long before you came here. They're going to be here long after you leave. Now, you're the perfect physical specimen. You're the total package. But what you are alone is just another man. With the Horsemen, you rose to greatness. Better than you could ever be by yourself. But the bottom line is, my friend, you want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. We're not going to draw straws to see who gets on you, Luger. You want to be the total package. You're no longer a Horseman. I'm going to look you out of eye. We're going to find out. Don't cry about the game plan. The problem was the execution. The game plan was fine. You're not the athlete to pull it off like you think you are. You were coached by the greatest of them all, J.J. Dillon. You were trained by the greatest of them all, Dolly Buxton, myself, Ric Flair. Any shortcomings you had on your own. Now you want to find out if you're the total package. You want a full grip on what the Four Horsemen are all about. You're looking at the measuring stick. I'm coming for you, Luger. Don't be looking for me.